السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا، أحسن الله إليكم.
أمين يا بابا يوسف، how are you؟
الحمد لله بخير.
We should go on with our class.
نعم يا شيخنا.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Our last few classes regarding our book Al-Adab al-Mufrad were on our brothers. The first was about the Muslim being like a mirror to his brother. The Muslim, the mu'min, al-mu'minu mir'atu akhi, the believing person is like the mirror to his brother. And so if he finds a fault in him, aslahahu, idha ra'a fihi ayban aslahahu. If he finds a fault with his brother, he finds a means of rectifying his brother. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also makes us understand that this believing person, yakufu alayhi dayatahu, he will help his brother to protect his means of livelihood. Wa yahutuhu min waraihi, and likewise he will guide him, protect. He will protect his brother from behind. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us about eating or finding clothes, finding benefits, finding honor, finding respect, finding popularity amongst the people at the expense of the honor of our brother. Many of the people do this. They find food, they try to eat at the expense of the honor, at the expense of the dignity of their Muslim brothers. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us and said, whoever did this, if it was food that he sought with it, he will be fed with the like of that in the fire. He will be fed with the like of that from Jahannam. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُطْعِمُهُ مِثْلَهَا مِنْ جَهَنَّمَ. The food which he sought from disgracing his brother and obtaining, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُطْعِمُهُ مِثْلَهَا مِنْ جَهَنَّمَ. Allah will provide him the like of that food from the fire. If it was clothes, he will get the like of that from the fire too. And if it was position, he will get the same position of popularity seeking and show off on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah protect each and every one of us. Then we came to the chapter about the kinds of play and joke that the Sharia prohibits. And the Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he mentioned it because it is something that we would hardly understand. It is something that people will hardly pay attention to in their jokes. We are aware already that when we joke and tell a lie, it's a sin to joke and tell a lie. You lie to the people so that they find the lie funny. And then the people become amused. We're already aware that that is prohibited. But as for threatening the brother or making a jest of him, many of the people may not know that it is prohibited to take away something from your brother. And then he becomes scared. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا يأخذ أحدكم متاع صاحبه لعبا ولا جادا. None of you should take away the possession of his brother, لعبا, whether out of joke, wala jaddan, or that he may be serious about it. No one of you should take away from his brother something that belongs to that brother. So these were the warnings that we received from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Don't take away something. People now refer to things like this as pranks. They bring a scare to their brother. They bring fear to their brother. And then they say, oh, sorry, I was just joking. It was a prank. These kinds of things are unlawful in Sharia. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la ya'akhudhu ahadukum mata'a sahibihi la'iban wa la jadda. Don't take away something that belongs to your brother, something your brother finds benefit in. Don't take it away from him out of joke or out of seriousness. So we are prohibited from this. In the chapter that followed that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to us that man dalla ala khayri falahu mithlu ajri fa'ili. Man dalla ala khayrin فَلَهُ مِثْلُ أَجْرِ فَعِلِهِ. The one who guides another person onto any kind of goodness, whether he guides him with the words of the mouth with an utterance, whether he guides him with a gesture, whether he guides the person by writing, and so on. فَلَهُ مِثْلُ أَجْرِ فَعِلِهِ. The one who does that good earns reward. So the guide, the one who guided the person to that goodness, he gets the kind of reward that the one who has actually acted upon the goodness gets. So all of these were from our previous lessons that we had taken. Today, inshallah, our class will dwell upon a major aspect of righteousness, but that many of us find very difficult. A major aspect of righteousness, a major aspect of piety, but that many of us find very, very difficult. We find it very difficult to practice. We find it very difficult, especially in our own times, because in our times, people are so delighted with personal achievements, so much that even those who have not attained a thing, they derive pleasure in behaving as if they have such things. So everybody likes to raise the shoulders. Everybody likes to show off. Everybody likes to be seen to be very important and significant in the society. So this general sense of pride amongst people makes it difficult for them to follow and become from the people of this character trait that we'll be mentioning today. And that is what Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah has mentioned under this chapter. Babul afwi wa safhi anin nas. Babul afwi wa safhi anin nas. The chapter about al afwi wa safhi anin nas. Al afwi wa safhi anin nas. Al afwi is to overlook a person's fault. Wa safhi is to overlook the fault so much that as if that fault had never been there in the first place. So we want to be talking about overlooking the people's faults and pardoning the people. Overlooking and pardoning the faults of the people. Overlooking and pardoning discomfort brought to us by people. So Allah for ulama say, it is kafud darari ma al-qudrati alayhi. al-afu, when you have afu, when you pardon a person. Literally, what does it mean in the Sharia is kafud darar. You take away, you leave aside causing someone harm. Mal kudrati alay. Even when you have the ability to do it, someone pushes you. You have the ability to retaliate that push. Lakin, you hold back, you leave retaliation, you leave aside revenge, even though you have the ability to revenge. That tark, that leaving, is from the technical meaning of al-afu. Al-afu, technically, linguistically, it is tarku shay, is a afa taraka, taraka shay. If he overlooks, he has left something. That tark is the living itself. The ulama say, إِذَا اسْتَحَقَّ شَخْصٌ عُقُوبَةً. If a person deserves a particular retaliatory act, maybe he slaps somebody. The person has a duty, he has a right, he has a right. If a person is slapped, he has a right to return it. If a person is injured, he has a right to return injury in the like of the injury that was done to him. That is what you refer to as retaliation or revenge. Just within the limits. The Quran makes us understand that it says, فَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا جَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. If a person does you سَيِّئَة, directs evil towards you, it says, جَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ, the reward, the payback, the retaliation for a particular evil is سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, ya Sheikhana. We lost the audio, sir.
Al-afu is what we are trying to explain. Al-afu is what we try to explain. That al-afu is kaffu ad-darari ma al-qudrati alayhi. Al-afu is kafu ad-darari ma al-qudrati alayhi. Al-afu is that you hold back harm from somebody ma al-qudrati alayhi, even though you have the ability to pay back that harm. Someone pushes you. You can push him back, but you hold back. You pardon that pushing that he did to you, even though you have the ability to push him in return. You're holding back, and your leaving of retaliation is called al-afu. When you leave paying back evil with evil, it is referred to as al-afu. Kafu ad-darari ma al-qudrati alayhi. Another kind of explanation we could get regarding al-afu is what Allah told us in the Quran. It says, jaza'u sayyi'atin. I think that's in Surah Ash-Shura. Jaza'u sayyi'atin sayyi'atun misluha. The reward, retaliation for one evil is another evil in its like. Someone slaps you, you can retaliate. Someone pushes you, you can retaliate. Someone injures you, you can retaliate. Misluha, in the like of, just within the limits of the first evil that was done to you. But what does afu mean? Allah says, just in the same verse, وَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ. So the one who leaves paying back evil with evil, he leaves aside that retaliation. He did not retaliate. He did not pay back evil with evil. Not to pay back evil with evil, even when you have the right to pay back that evil with evil. Not paying it back is what is referred to as an afu. Not paying back evil with evil, even when you have the ability to do so. You're leaving aside, you left something, because linguistically, al-afu means at-tark. Is a afa taraka shay'an. He has left something. So when you leave paying back evil with evil, you do not pay back evil with evil. You leave that paying back. You leave retaliation. You leave meting out punishment. Your leaving of that thing is referred to as what? Al-afu. As for as-safhu, the ulama say as-safhu ablagu min al-afu. As-safhu is like as-safha, the safha of a page. The safha of a book is the page of that book. The safha of a book is the page of that book. So as-safhu is like opening another page, moving forward. You close the first page to another page. So as-safhu is tajawuz an dhanb. When you overlook an ill that was directed to you, bil kulliya, completely, just as a page is closed when you open the next page, the old page becomes completely closed. So as-safhu is when you overlook the fault of a person, you overlook evil done to you by a particular person, wa'atibaruhu ka'allam yakun. And you consider it as if that evil had never happened before. That is the meaning of as-safhu. So al-afu is that you just don't pay back. You just don't retaliate. You just don't revenge. That is al-afu. But as for as-safhu, it comes to you like it has never happened. You behave as if that thing has never been there before. So as-safhu is bigger and deeper in its meaning than al-afu. As-safhu is bigger in its meaning than as-safhu. So when you say al-afu is to overlook the shortcoming, overlook that fault, as-safhu is to completely pardon the person and even direct good to that person who had brought discomfort to you. So this is what we'll be discussing. Bab al-afu wa safhi an-nas, the chapter about pardoning people, having afu for the people and as-safhu. You see the two of them standing together in many places in the Quran. And the story that we all know as Qissatul Ifk, when our mother Aisha radiallahu anha was accused of evil. We remember one of those who was involved in mongering and spreading the false story about her. Radiallahu anha was Misbah, who happens to be a relative of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. We remember that in the Quran, in Surah An-Nur, Allah commanded Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, who had wanted to hold back the goodness and the care and the expenses that he used to provide for Misbah. The Quran said to him, Allah said to him, as it's mentioned in the Quran, it says, وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا. Let them make afu. Al-afu is don't revenge, don't retaliate, forgive him, overlook it for him. وَلْيَصْفَحُوا. Return the goodness. Behave as if it has never happened. You used to spend on that man. You used to pay attention to him. You used to care for him. Well, yes, fahu. Go back to that. That evil that he had done, go back to returning goodness to him, despite the fact that you have an ability to pay back evil with evil. So I hope that the difference between al-afu and as-safhu is clearly understood. Here we are under Babul Afwi wa Safhi an-Nas, the chapter where we are encouraged in Islam to make al-afu, to forgive and overlook evil directed to us. discomfort brought to us, thy people. And as-safhu is overlook it for them so much that we turn another page as if they'd never wronged us. Brothers, I'm sure we all will know and understand that this is a very, very big character trait for us. Very hard too to come by. They are easier said than done. You can imagine how disturbing it would have been for Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu to overlook for Mr. who was amongst those who spread that evil against our mother Aisha. Yet on the spot, as Allah told him to make al-afu and as-safhu, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu quickly took to it and said, yes, I'm going to return all the goodness to Mr. It's not an easy thing to pardon, to overlook the people and behave as if it had never happened. Yet, this is something that our religion has encouraged us to take up. So it requires that we brace up regarding this. And this encouragement in Islam for al-afu and as-safhu. Al-Imam al-Bukhari has brought us a very, very, very significant hadith in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. It occurs as hadith 243 in our book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. In it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, Haddathana Abdullah ibn Abdul Wahab. قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله حدثنا عبد الله بن عبد الوهاب قال حدثنا خالد بن الحارث قال حدثنا شعبة عن هشام بن زيد عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه أن يهودية أتت النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم بشاة مسمومة فأكل منها فجيء بها فكيل ألا نقتلها قال لا قال فما زلت أعرفها في لهوات رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله حدثنا عبد الله بن عبد الوهاب قال البخاري رحمه الله حدثنا عبد الله بن عبد الوهاب قال حدثنا خالد بن الحارث قال حدثنا شعبة عن هشام بن زيد عن أنس أن يهودية أتت النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم بشاة مسمومة فأكل منها فجيء بها فكيل ألا نقتلها قال لا قال فما زلت أعرفها في لهوات رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. الإمام البخاري said حدثنا عبد الله بن عبد الوهاب. عبد الله بن عبد الوهاب, one of the features of الإمام البخاري, he is أبو محمد البصري. أبو محمد البصري, he is عبد الله بن عبد الوهاب. عبد الله بن عبد الوهاب Al-Basri is the teacher of Al-Imam al-Bukhari in this hadith. Qala haddathana Khalid ibn al-Harith. Abdullah ibn Abdul Wahab said, haddathana Khalid ibn al-Harith. Khalid ibn al-Harith, he is Abu Uthman al-Basri also. Abu Uthman al-Basri, Khalid ibn al-Harith. He said, haddathana Shu'bah, is reporting from Al-Imam Shu'ba ibn al-Hajjaj, rahimahullah, who is reporting from Hisham ibn Zayd. Hisham ibn Zayd, who is reporting this hadith from his grandfather Anas, is one of the grandchildren of Anas ibn Malik, the companion who has reported this hadith. So Anas ibn Malik, this companion, he had a son called Zayd, and Zayd had a son called Hisham. So Hisham is the grandson of Anas ibn Malik. He is the one reporting from his grandfather Anas, radiallahu anhu ibn Malik, Abu Hamza, radiallahu anhu. Anas said, radiallahu anhu, anna yahudiyatan atatin nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam bishatin masmuma. Anas said, anna yahudiyatan أتت النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم بشاة مسمومة. A Jewish woman, a Jewess, a woman who was a Jew, أتت النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم بشاة مسمومة. She brought a shat, a piece of meat, مسمومة, that was already poisoned to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. We know this popular story, the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The name of that woman was Zainab bint al-Harith. Zainab bint al-Harith, she was the Yahudiya who brought the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bishatin masmuma. She had poisoned. May Allah protect us all. That woman, that Jew, she had poisoned a piece of meat. And when the Prophet sallallahu, that happened at Khaybar. That happened at Khaybar. After the Muslims had overrun the Jews at Khaybar, one of those who came near the Muslims was this woman. So she poisoned a piece of meat and brought it as a gift to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anas ibn Malik, anna yahudiyatan atat an-nabiyya bishatin masmuma. That woman brought a piece of meat that was already poisoned to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a gift and as food for him. One of the scholars who paid attention to this report, because this hadith is widely reported in the books of hadith. Our report here is from Anas ibn Malik. And this hadith has also been reported by Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. It was reported by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. It was reported by Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. It was also reported by our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. It is reported that it was discovered in the later documents that what she did, كَانَ بِتَدْبِيرِ رُؤَسَاهِ الْيَهُودِيَةِ. It was upon the plan, بِتَدْبِيرِ رُؤَسَاهِ الْيَهُودِيَةِ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ وَبِقَرَارٍ مِّنْهُمْ. It was upon the plan and instruction and guide of the heads of the Jews in Medina at the time. The heads of the Jews resident in Medina at the time. They were the one who planned that woman should poison that piece of meat and bring it to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah protect us. So Anas ibn Malik in this report said, anna yahudiyatan atatin nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bishatin masmuma. A Jewish woman brought a piece of meat she had poisoned to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَأَكَلَ مِنْهَا. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took some from the meat. وَأَكَلَ الْقَوْمِ. The report in Sunan Abi Dawud from the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, it said, وَأَكَلَ الْقَوْمِ. أَكَلَ مِنْهَا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going to take some of it. وَأَكَلَ الْقَوْمِ. Likewise, the people, the companions who were with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some of the people also took from the meat. فَقَالَ رَفَعُوا أَيْدِيَكُمْ فَإِنَّهَا أَخْبَرَتْنِي أَنَّهَا مَسْمُومَ. This increment I'm reading occurs in the report of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari in Sunan Abi Dawud, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he was eating from it, he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, irfa'u aydiyakum. Irfa'u aydiyakum. Take off your hands. Fa innaha akhbaratni annaha masmuma. because this piece of meat is telling me now that it has been poisoned. The meat was telling the Prophet Muhammad, I have been poisoned. I have been poisoned. I have been poisoned. Ya Allah protect us. But some of the companions had eaten from it. At that time, some of the companions had eaten from it. One of them was Bishr ibn al-Barra ibn Ma'rur al-Ansari. Bishr ibn radiyallahu anhu, Bishr ibn al-Barra ibn Ma'rur al-Ansari, he had eaten from it. He died, radiyallahu. That companion who had already completed eating from it, he died, radiyallahu anhu. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the people, Irfa'u aydiyakum. فَإِنَّهَا أَخْبَرَتْنِي أَنَّهَا مَسْمُومَ. Take off your hands, because this piece of meat told me now, أَنَّهَا مَسْمُومَ, that it had been poisoned. فَجِيءَ بِهَا. So the woman was brought to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. فَسَأَلَهَا عَنْ ذَلِكِ. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم asked the woman, why did you poison this food? سَأَلَهَا. And Zalik, the Prophet asked the woman about what had happened. فَقَالَتْ, the woman said, أَرَدْتُ لِأَقْتُلَكَ, I wanted to kill you. فَقَالَ, then the Prophet said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُصَلِّطَكِ عَلَيَّ, مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُصَلِّطَكِ عَلَيَّ, Allah has not provided you strength over me. Allah will not provide you strength. Allah has not given you ma kana Allah. Allah has not given you strength. Liyusallitaki alayya, to become overriding against me, to overpower me. Allah has not given you that strength to overpower. So as that happened, fakila ala naqtuluha, it was said to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah naqtuluha, should we not kill her, O Messenger of Allah? Qala la, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, la. He rejected that this woman be killed. This is the point of reference in this hadith. We can see how dastardly that act would have been, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was provided a meal of meat, while the person who provided that meat had poisoned the meat. The Prophet was the head of the Muslims, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he was a messenger of Allah to everybody. At that time, he had power, he had authority. He could have asked that the woman be killed or that any other punishment be given to her. So when the companions came to the Prophet saying, Allah naqtuluha, should we not kill her? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, she should not be killed. That woman was prevented from being killed by the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. For us, this is the point of reference in this hadith. As evil as that act was, that woman directed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet held back from retaliating, because there was lawfulness and there is lawfulness for retaliation. Yet the Prophet held back sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Although we know from the story, like Al-Imam Ibn Suhnun said, Ajma'a Ahlul Hadith, the scholars of hadith are in agreement, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qatalaha, that later on that woman was ordered to be killed by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's because in the report of Abdullah ibn Abbas, it said when Bishr ibn al-Barra passed away, as Bishr ibn al-Barra, the woman was brought, the Prophet said, this woman had poisoned the meat. The meat has told me that it has been poisoned. So the woman was left. They wanted to kill her, say, no, leave her. This is the point of reference in this hadith. That point, when despite the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had noticed and had known alayhi salatu wasalam that the woman had done that evil, he still pardoned her alayhi salatu wasalam. is still Pado's house. But when the news got to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Bishr ibn al-Barra al-Ansari, who also partook from that meat, had died, فَرَدَّهَا الرَّسُولُ sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam ila ahli Bishr. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directed the affairs to the family of who? Bishr. Why? Because at that time, life had been taken. And the life that was taken, the family of those from where the victim came, they have the affair. فَقَدْ جَعَلْنَا لِوَلِيِّهِ سُلْطَانًا. The authority would come to the family of the person who was killed. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was poisoned. He forgave the woman for himself. Regarding himself, he forgave the woman. He rejected that the woman be killed. But when it became clear that Bishr ibn al-Barra had been killed by her poisoning, the Prophet gave the affair, like the Quran says, وَلَا تَقْتُلُ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. Allah said, وَمَنْ قُتِلَ مَظْلُومًا فَقَدْ جَعَلْنَا لِوَلِيِّهِ سُلْطَانًا. Anybody who was unlawfully killed, فَقَدْ جَعَلْنَا لِوَلِيِّهِ سُلْطَانًا. We have given the authority to the family of the victim. So Bishr ibn al-Barra al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, when the news came to the Prophet that he had been killed, the Prophet handed over the affair to the family of Bishr. And they insisted that the woman should be killed because she had killed somebody. But as for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the point of reference in this hadith, the Prophet said that the woman should not be killed. There is also another point of benefit in this hadith. Because if we follow up other reports of this hadith, that woman was saying that she wanted to kill the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and see to be sure that he was the messenger of Allah. She said if the messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was truly a messenger of Allah, he will not die from that poisoning. And that was what actually happened. He took from it, but he did not die from the poison. That makes us understand that the one who actually takes the life of people was Allah, is Allah subhanahu. And the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had not reached. And like he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُصَلِّفَهَا عَلَيْهِ. Allah has not provided authority. Allah has not provided strength. Allah has not provided overpowering for that woman over the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So while those who partook in it died on the spot, that almost immediately, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had also taken a part of it, but he did not die sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet in fact died about 3 to 4 years after this incident sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from a meat that was badly poisoned, expecting that he would die immediately. So when Bishr ibn al-Barra passed away, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam handed the affair to the family of Bishr ibn al-Barra radiallahu anhu, and the woman was killed as a legal punishment for murder. The woman was killed as legal punishment for murder by the family of Bishr ibn al-Barra radiallahu anhu. So Imam al-Bukhari has brought this hadith under this chapter heading Al-Afu Suffer, because of the Prophet overlooking, even when he had the opportunity to kill the woman, he had the chance to kill the woman, he had the authority to order that the woman be killed. The companions radiyallahu anhum asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ala naqtuluha, should we not kill her? Faqala la, the Prophet said, no, leave her. Anas said, radiallahu anhu, regarding that poisoning, فَمَا زِلْتُ أَعْرِفُهَا فِي لَهَوَاتِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. فَمَا زِلْتُ أَعْرِفُهَا. I continue to notice that poisoning في لهوات رسول الله, in the upper mouth throat area. The throat area, in the throat area, that is the upper part. I think the biologists refer to that as uvula. the upper part of the mouth, around the throat area. The upper part of the mouth, around the throat area of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was mentioned that Anas said he used to notice the effect of that poisoning in that area of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the upper mouth, in the throat area, the upper part of the mouth in the throat area. I think that's what they refer to as the uvula. It was said that Anas used to notice that from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that was from the effect of that meat poisoning by that woman. Al Imam al Bukhari has brought this hadith that anna yahudiyatan atat an nabiyya sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam bi shatin masmuma. A Jewish woman brought a shat, a piece of meat that had been poisoned to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Fa akala minha. The Prophet partook in it. He took a piece of meat from it. Faji abiha. That woman was brought. We shouldn't forget. The Prophet ate. Wa akala al-qawm. The people also ate. These are inclusions from the report of Al-Imam Abu Dawud from Jabir ibn Abdullah regarding the story. We had mentioned that the story had been reported by a number of companions. Apart from Anas, Abu Huraira also reported it. Apart from him, Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari reported it. Aisha reported it. Abdullah ibn Abbas reported it. It was from the report of Ibn Abbas that it was noted that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam handed over that woman to the family of Bishr ibn al-Barrah, because they are the owners of the rights in terms of that. But as for the Prophet himself sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, he did not allow the woman to be killed regarding himself sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. And as said, famazil tu arifuha fi lahawati rasulika sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, famazil tu arifuha. I continue to note that the signs of that poisoning, fi lahawat rasulillah, in the mouth area, the upper mouth area, towards the throat area, the upper part of the mouth, in his throat, in the uvula. Anas said, radiallahu anhu, he used to notice that from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what happened regarding that woman was that tarakaha an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam awwala. The Prophet had overlooked, alayhi salatu wassalam. He had made al-afu for her, alayhi salatu wassalam. The messenger had made al-afu for that woman, alayhi salatu wassalam. Tarakaha an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam awwala. At the beginning, the Prophet had made al-afu regarding himself. ثم لما مات بشر ابن البراء من الأكلة. So later on, when Bishr ibn al-Barra passed away from his taking of that meal, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَقَتَلَهَا النَّبِيُّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet handed over the affairs to the family of Bishr ibn al-Barra, who have a say to say that that person should be killed, the woman should be killed. And the woman was killed. May Allah protect each and every one of us. There are reports that that woman later accepted Islam, but whether she accepted Islam or not, the legal punishment for murder is execution. Whether that woman accepted Islam later or not, the legal punishment for murder is that the person who murdered someone else be executed. But the point of reference, like we repeatedly say about this hadith, is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam overlooked for that woman. He made afu for her. He overlooked and pardoned her. As for the death of Bishr ibn al-Barra, the Prophet handed over the affairs to her family and they insisted that the woman be killed. I think that's sufficient for that hadith. 243 in hadith 244. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahmahullah, haddathana Muhammad ibn Salam, qala haddathana Abu Muawiyah, قال حدثنا هشام عن وابر بن كيسان قال سمعت عبد الله بن زبير يقول على المنبر خذ العفو وأمر بالمعروف وأعرض عن الجاهلين قال والله ما أمر بها أن تؤخذ إلا من أخلاق الناس والله لآخذنها منهم ما صحبتهم. الإمام البخاري in Hadith number 244 in our book Al-Adab al-Mufrad, he said, حدثنا محمد بن سلام. We know Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salam, that is Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salam Al-Bikandi rahimahullah, one of the teachers of Al-Imam al-Bukhari. We mention him repeatedly in this book. He said, حدثنا أبو معاوية. أبو معاوية was Muhammad ibn Khazim al-Darir. Muhammad ibn Khazim al-Darir. He is Abu Muawiyah, the teacher of Muhammad ibn Salam. Abu Muawiyah said, قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا Hisham. Hisham, which repeatedly read a hadith from him, Hisham ibn Urwa. He is reporting from Wahab ibn Kaysan, Abu Nu'aym, Wahab ibn Kaysan. He is Abu Nu'aym. He said, سمعت عبد الله بن زبير وهب بن كيسان أبو نعيم said I heard Abdullah ibn Zubair saying على المنبر while he was on the pulpit, while Abdullah ibn Zubair was on the minbar, on the pulpit, the height upon which people who give sermon stand, it's referred to as minbar. He was reciting the verse in the Quran wherein Allah says that خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. That occurs in Surah Al-A'raf. خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. خُذِ الْعَفْوَ, take to having afw. We had mentioned what afw is. Al-afw is to overlook. When you have the right to punish, you have the right to retaliate, you have the right to revenge. Someone does something, children, young boys, someone hits you in class, you have a right to hit him back. You have the ability to hit him back, but you have afu for him. You overlook. That is al-afu. In this verse in Surah Al-A'raf, Allah says, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ, take to having afu. It's easy to say it, but it is something we all need to learn and adopt as from our character. Al-akhzu bil-afwi, holding on to pardoning people, accepting their excuses. Al-afwi. But better than that is what as-safhu. As-safhu is, you will not retaliate. You will not also ever behave as if there was an injury done to you in the first place. Like you are opening a new page for that person. That is what as-safhu. But as for al-afu is when you overlook. So as-safhu has a bigger, deeper meaning than al-afu. But we are encouraged to hold on to the two of them. In this verse in Surah Al-A'raf, Allah says, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ, take to overlooking the people's faults. وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Some of the people can say, okay, are you now saying if I overlook the fault, I should just leave the people like that? Everybody should do what they like to me. Allah says, وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, command what is good. So overlooking the faults of people, overlooking injury done to you does not mean that you should not tell the person what you have done is not good. You can make al-amru bil-ma'ruf, command him to do that which is good. Yes, you have not retaliated, but you can encourage him to do something good. You can teach him what to do to be good. Imagine someone direct hurt to you. Instead of retaliating, you pardon him, and then you are inviting him to goodness. How will that be? This, when you now make al-amru bil-ma'ruf to the one who has directed harm to you, your afu will be turning to become what? As-safhu. When you make al-amru bil-ma'ruf, you encourage someone who directs hurt to you. You encourage him upon goodness. You're encouraging him upon goodness after you have held back away from retaliating. That now falls under what? As-safhu. So Khudhil Afu is a verse in the Quran. Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu was the son of Asma bint Abi Bakr al-Siddiq. He was on the minbar once while he was reciting this verse. Khudhil Afu wa'mur bil ma'ruf wa'arid anil jahili wa'arid nam wa'mur bil 'urf. Khudhil Afu wa'mur bil 'urf wa'mur bil 'urf. Command what we all know to be good. What ma'urifa annahu min al-ma'ruf. Ma'urifa annahu min al-khayf. What is known to the people to be good. That's the verse in Surah Al-A'raf. Khudh al-'afw wa'mur bil 'urf. Command the people to do what is good. What we all know to be good. Tell them to do. Then Allah says, wa'arif anil jahili. Avoid the people who behave ignorantly to the people. A'rif anhum. Turn away. Someone directs hurt to you, you avoid. Just turn away from the hurt. By way of avoiding that you retaliate. It's very common. Our brothers resident in Lagos, they will hear very vulgar words from bus conductors and drivers. Even when you may be driving. You may drive near a driver or a bus, and then you hear very vulgar words from them. Don't give a response. Turn away. Don't retaliate. If they say you are this, and you retaliate, you too, you are this. Yes, there is that retaliation. But al-afu is that you don't retaliate. Allah says, wa'arid anil jahili. The bulk of these people are from ignorant people. They are from wicked criminals. A'rid anhum. Turn away from them. Don't go on becoming like them. You begin to trade insults and abuse in the public. A'rid anil jahili. Move away from this kind of a character. Khudhil af. Take to overlooking. Wa'mur bil urf. Command that person to do what is good. Wa'arid anil jahilin. Turn away from the people of ignorance. This is the verse in Surah Al-A'raf. When Abdullah ibn Zubayr read this verse while delivering a sermon to the people, he said, radiyallahu anhuma, wallahi, ma amara biha an tu'khadha illa min akhlaqin nas. Wallahi. ما أمر بها أن تؤخذ إلا من أخلاق الناس. He said, I swear by Allah, ما أمر بها أن تؤخذ إلا من أخلاق الناس. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Allah said to him that خذ العفو, take to pardoning. Abdullah ibn Zubayr said, the Prophet was not asked to take to something, pardoning something, except that he should pardon أخلاق الناس. What you'll be seeing from the character of people. Pardon those bad ones in the character of people. The Prophet has not been given any command on that. In this verse, Khudhil Afu, take to pardoning. What the Prophet was commanded to take to pardoning is those faults, those ills, those hurts, those harm in the akhlaq of the people, in the character of the people. And then Abdullah ibn Zubayr said, and this is what I want all of us to say today. Wallahi. He said, I swear by Allah, la'akhudhannaha minhum ma sahibtuhum. Wallahi, la'akhudhannaha, by Allah, I will also take to overlooking the faults of people, ma sahibtuhum, as long as I relate with them. Meaning that if you relate with people, unless you don't relate with people, you'll be finding a big need to overlook the faults of the people. It's a very, very hard job to do. Relating with people, finding their faults, being clear that they are directing hurt to you, and yet you're having off. The Prophet too was asked to have off for the people, and he related with the people upon off. There's a hadith of that Arab who came into the masjid and urinated in the masjid. The people wanted to beat him. What the Prophet did in that circumstance was what? Having afu for them. When you relate with people, you will always have the need to make al-afu. I hope we remember the meaning of al-afu. Al-afu is to avoid retaliating, to avoid revenging, not to revenge, even though you have the ability to revenge. You have the ability to retaliate. You just pardon the person. This is al-afu. Al-safhu is bigger than al-afu. Because even after retaliating, you want to do something good to that person that had directed hurt to you. This is the meaning of what al-safhu. Someone slaps you and you provide him a stick of banana. This is al-safhu. But as for al-afu, it is just not returning hurt for hurt. That is al-afu. So al-safhu has a bigger meaning. It's like al-safhu. We remember the safha. The safha is the page. So when you have al-safhu, it's like you have turned the other page off. You have cancelled what the person did. You are opening a new page as if nothing has ever happened. Then you are bringing good to that person. Someone pushes you. You have a cup of, you have some popcorn with you. And you hand it over the popcorn. This is al-safhu. But as for al-afu, it is not to return pushing for a pushing. That is al-afu. And we are encouraged in Islam to hold on onto the two of them, al-afu and al-safhu. But as for these things, Allah says, وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا. This is difficult to take by anybody except by those who really, really show patience. وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. Nobody will be able to take to these things except people who have a very big part of righteousness with them. People who have huge aspects of righteousness, who are hugely righteous. Those are the people who we take to al-afu and what? Al-safhu. So I encourage myself first. We all fall into this. We get angry and they will begin to react. Let us always remember the need to have al-afu and al-safhu. From the aspects of having al-afu and innas is that you accept their excuse, no matter how flimsy those excuses may be. It's a very, very big thing. Allah says it's not easy for just everybody to have that. مَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا. Nobody will find it easy to have except the people of patience. So what we are talking about is not a manner that's just gotten over the night. It is something we have to train ourselves to become used to. So I adjure myself, I tell myself first, and I tell the rest of us listening to me, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. خُذِ الْعَفْوَ, take to having pardon for people. Take to overlooking the faults of people. I know, and I'll stop with this, an old man is a professor, the professor of geology from the university where I graduated. While we were undergraduates, we had one of our friends who drove his car. If you drop the car with the person who has something to repair, they always find faults. And the man will be giving them money. They repair something, he gives me pays for it. We'll be paying. Why is he paying for this? Say, don't worry, let him get the money. But let him just repair the car. So it is now that we become grown up, we understand that what that man has was a very, very big latitude of al-afu and what? Al-safhu. So when they gave him excuses, he accepted and he was ready to move along again. What's the next thing? What do we do next? Having a wide latitude of al-afu and what? Al-safhu. It requires that we accept people's excuses. It's a very, very hard thing, but we have to start learning it and practicing it, overlooking the faults of the people. And that was what Abdullah ibn Zubayr said, radiyallahu anhuma, wallahi la'akhuzannaha, wallahi, I swear by Allah, I will start having this. I will take to overlooking the faults of the people. La'akhuzannaha minhum. I will overlook the faults of the people and pardon them. I will give them al-afu ma sahibtuhum, as long as I relate with them. I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us all from the people of Al-Afr and As-Safh. It's a very, very hard thing to be overlooking. You are described as a person who readily overlooks the faults of people. From that is that you will not be getting angry too quickly. And even when you get angry, you are able to hold back yourself from acting upon anger. It's a very, very, very big thing for us to hold on to. I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive each and every one of us and make us from the people of Al-Afu and As-Safu. I think we can go on to ask our questions here regarding Al-Afu and As-Safu. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was poisoned, and yet he forgave that woman who poisoned him. The woman only had to be killed because it happened that one of those who ate that meat got dead as a result of the poisoning. And then she was killed as the legal punishment by the family of those who have the victim. But as for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi, he had forgiven her alayhi salatu wasalam. And that is something that's very, very big to do. Even when you are in a position to punish the person, you still overlook the faults of the person. May Allah forgive each and every one. Abu Yusuf, you have a few questions we can attend to.
Now, Jazakumullah khairan ya Sheikh.
Amin wa antum fa jazakumullah.
Assalamu alaykum.
Amin wa iyyak.
It is said that the effect of this poisoning by the Jewish woman Jewish woman's meat was felt by the Prophet at the time of his death. What is the place of such statements in verified hadith?
Yes, it is verified. It occurs in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, and it occurs in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. Yes, the Prophet still felt the pains from it when he passed away, alayhi salatu wasalam. It was intended that he ate it and died. But even 3 years after, 3 years and above, he still lived. Look at the others who ate it. They died on the spot. Like Bishr ibn al-Barrah, he died on the spot. That was why that woman was killed later on. He died on the spot. Did not have any such effect on him. Even though, yes, it's retaining him, he had feelings of it. Even at the time that he passed away, alayhi salatu wasalam, he felt pains from it. But it was not the reason for his death, alayhi salatu wasalam. His death was at the time that Allah had preordained for him. Because if it was death from that poison, he would have died on the spot like the rest of the companions who had eaten from that poison. And from the signs of that eating was what Anna said he used to notice in the upper mouth area of the Prophet. I think Aisha radiallahu anha, our mother, also reported like that. So what you have mentioned occurs in authentic hadith. Allahu Akbar.
Jazakumullahu khairan, Shaykhun. Why didn't the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam admonish the family of Bishr from killing the Jewish woman?
You can't say why didn't he do this? This is not a proper way to ask a question. You can say, did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encourage that family by way of asking them what had happened? But when you say, why did he not do it? Do you know better? He was acting upon revelation. You don't know better. As if to say you are putting yourself in the position, you are asking your younger one, why did you not do this? You don't ask questions like that regarding the Prophet Muhammad. We are in the social media world now. These things are not things that we learn. You will see a young boy asking an elderly person, why did you do this? The young one do not ask the elder, why did you not do this? Don't say that. Don't say, why did the Prophet not do this? Don't say that. It's a wrong way to ask questions. Don't even ask your elderly ones that, not to say your parents. Don't ask your parents, why did you not do this? So it's not a good way to ask the question. The right way to ask that question is, did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this? Did he tell the family of Bashir not to take revenge? Did he do so? Well, we did not see that in reports regarding this story. But we all know what the Quran says about that, that the family has a choice. And the Quran has admonished the families to take to not kill. But if they choose to do so, yes, they have a right. The Quran told us that in Surah Al-Isra, we write that back to us. Allah says, وَلَا تَقْتُلُ النَّفْسَ الَّذِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَمَنْ كُتِلَ مَظْلُومًا. Any person who has been killed out of injustice, Allah says, فَقَدْ جَعَلْنَا لِوَلِيِّهِ سُلْطَانًا. We have given the family the sultan, the power, the authority. We've given them the power and authority to say, yes, we want him to be killed in return. Oh no, we want him not to be killed in return. The family has that right. It's in the Quran, it's in Surah Al-Isra. Allah says, جَعَلْنَا لِوَلِيِّهِ سُلْطَانًا. We have given them the authority. If they like, they can say, that person should pay the blood money. Blood money now, blood wheat now, it's not money that's easy for people to pay. 1,000 dinars. You want to pay blood money now? 1,000 dinar. One dinar is 4.25 grams of gold. So multiply 4.25 grams of gold by 1,000. How many grams of gold would you have to pay? That's not small money now. 4.25 times 1,000 grams of gold. Convert that to dollars. That's the amount you need to pay. It's close to 100 million now. Close to 100 million now this year for people to pay. So Allah says, فَقَدْ جَعَلْنَا لِوَلِيِّهِ سُلْطَانًا. We have given the family of that person who was killed, we have given them the authority. They can say, no, we want the person to be killed. They can say, no, we want the person to be pardoned. Allah says, فَلَا يُسْرِفْ فِي الْقَتْلِ. So Allah is the one who even made the salmon to that family. So لَا تُسْرِفْ فِي الْقَتْلِ. Don't allow killing to go on the surface of the earth. So it's like a plea to the family. Let's not allow the man to be killed. But they have a say. إِنَّهُ كَانَ مَنْصُورًا. The one who has been killed has been helped by Allah. Of course, his sins will be transferred to the head of the one who had killed him, and so on. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a kind of appeals to the family. So that appeal is there in the Sharia. But even at appeal, they have a right to say, no, we insist that the person should be killed. And that one itself has a lot of benefits. If the person is committing murder, if he knows that the family the person is going to murder can choose to order that he be killed, it will be a means of holding back from murder. So whichever of them that the person chooses, there's wisdom in it from the Sharia. If they choose to take blood money, maybe that person will repent, pay the blood money, and then the family will benefit from the blood money. There's hikmah in that. If the family chooses that the person should be killed, there's also hikmah in that. The person can be killed so that the rest of the people who want to take to murdering people, we know that murder has severe consequences, and from that is that they too will be killed. So either of them that the family choose, they've been given that opportunity in the Sharia. It's not a blame at all. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would just have said what I have said now, read the verses to them, alayhi salatu wa sallam. These are the options you have. And that's why he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, ta'afaw fima bainakum. Overlook regarding the matters, when those matters are still just within yourselves. Overlook. Because when the matter becomes reason, فَمَا بَلَّغَنِي مِنْ حَدِّ فَقَدْ وَجَبَ. If a legal punishment comes to me, a person steals up to the nisab that the hands may be cut. He steals your property. If you want to overlook within yourselves before the matter gets to constituted authority. Because once it gets to the constituted authority, the legal punishment will be implemented as is determined in the Sharia. So if people choose to forgive, yes, they have a right. If they choose to punish, they have a right. There's no blame in that.
So that's why it is wrong to say, why did the prophet not do that? It's a wrong way to ask the question, as we had said earlier. So I hope that that will clarify that aspect of the question. How about you, sir?
Another question is, must the consent of the deceased family be sought before passing a death sentence for the murderer?
Yes, in the case like this, the cases of murder, the family of the deceased have a say. That's the verse in the Quran that we have read to us. We'd explain it in the last explanation that we gave.
What should be done when overlooking of people's faults cause one to be taken for granted?
Sometimes we give expressions that require clarification. What does it mean that you are being taken for granted? If you pardon people, you are being taken for granted. What does it mean? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that When you make up, ma zadaka Allahu illa izza, Allah does not increase you anything except in honor. If it is true that you are making up to people, it will increase your honor. So there is no taking you for, it does not bring you about dishonor. The Quran, that verse says, khuzil af, take to pardoning and overlooking people. Wa'mur bil'urf, that person you are pardoning and he's still going back to evil. Murhu bil'urf, command him, teach him what to do. Correct him, rectify him. So there is no taking for granted there. The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that ma zada Allahu abdan bi afwin illa izza. Any time when you pardon people, the least of what you get is honor, you become aziz, you become noble, respected, you be seen, looked at highly in the society. It will increase you in your iz. So there is no dishonor, there is no disrespect in when you overlook the faults of people. But if that person is the person who repeats it, Murhu bil ma'ruf, then teach him so that he is corrected. Tell him, don't do this again. Do this. Do it like this. Wa'arif an al-jahiliyya. Hold back from the people of ignorance. Don't behave as they behave. Someone directs at you, shouts at you, don't behave like that. Turn away from him and move away. So there is no taking for granted in the aspect of Al-Afu and Al-Safu. This issue of you take me for granted, is the reason why Allah says, وَمَا يُسَبْقَوْهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُ. Al-Afu and Al-Safu, people will not take to them except people who have very high, huge latitudes of Al-Sab patience. It's not just something, because the nature of the human being basically is that he wants to quickly take a revenge. But people of Afu and Safu, they have grown beyond this, they've grown above this level of let me revenge, so that he can know that, so that he can know what. So when they make Al Afu and Safu, they are doing that and they seek the pleasure of Allah. If it's a person who still behaves in a funny manner, then they make efforts to correct that person, to rectify the affairs of that person. And by that too, that is also from the aspects of as-safr. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make afu for us too, because Allah is al-afu. And he likes that we make afu for the people, as we regularly say in the month of Ramadan, from the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, from the best things that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam encouraged us to say on the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan. So afu does not bring you insult it will bring you honor. It will bring you honor. You will not be taken for granted. Allahu a'lam.
Jazakumullahu khairan, Shaykhana. Assalamu alaykum.
Can we stop here, Abba Yusuf?
نعم يا شيخنا بارك الله فيكم.
آمين وفيكم بارك الله. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.